Hello and welcome to Really Cool People, Season 2. This is a podcast produced by Schweitzer Church, and I'm your host, Jason Leidinger. Really Cool People is a place to hear stories of interesting and fascinating people. The hope is that in hearing these stories, you and I will be inspired, encouraged, and challenged through moments of serendipity. C.S. Lewis, in a sermon entitled The Weight of Glory, wrote that you and I never encounter an ordinary person. We never get to really talk to a mere mortal because of God's gift of his life to us, the Imago Dei. Each and every one of us carries around within us the weight of God's glory. And that weight makes life interesting, fascinating, and everyone's story significant. So it's my joy over the next few moments to introduce you to somebody who is a really cool person. Today, that person is Carrie Henry. Carrie's going to cover a lot of her life. She's going to talk about being a mom, a wife, and a business owner, and a lot of other things along the way. So let's take a listen to Carrie Henry. Today, it's a great pleasure to have Carrie Henry with us. And so, Carrie, why don't you start us off by telling us about yourself?
So how far back do you want me to go?
You can go way back.
Way back, way back. Well, I was born in Kabul, Missouri, to Jerry and Carol Roberts. And I have had two brothers. I was the baby. They were 10 and 8 years older than me. But the funny joke is everyone always says, oh, you were the accident. And mom's like, nope, she was the only planned one. So anyway, so I grew up in Kabul, went to school there, elementary, middle school, high school, graduated in 87, and then went to Drury University to study communications. And that's where I met my husband, Matt, and we were married in 91 and moved to Iowa City. And I started working at a bank. He was going to the University of Iowa to get his master's. And then from there, he got his master's in neuropsychology. And then we moved back to Springfield. And then he did nothing with that and started working in the family business. We have Henry's Towing. And he worked there. He also worked. We started a real estate company as a broker. And we developed Subdivision. And then we started having kids. I was working at a local bank, and then I was a stay-at-home mom. And then we've just grown from there. So bought the company, towing company, from his parents in 2012. And then 2019, Matt passed away from pancreatic cancer. And so here I am now running a towing business and all kinds of things that I didn't think I'd ever do. That was not in the cards. That's not how it was supposed to be. Never in a million years was I ever a businesswoman. I was supposed to be a mom and a stay-at-home mom and a wife, and that was it. So, big shocker. Never thought I'd be doing what I'm doing.
So that's a pretty brief overview. Like, there's big chunks of like, oh, I mean, how you grew up and then your time at Drury and then moving to Iowa.
Well, growing up, we grew up on a farm, 40 acres, and it was great. I loved it. I had the best, family. We had cows, we had pigs, horses, you name it, geese, everything. And it was a great, chickens. We did everything. My dad was incredible. And then going to Drury, I loved going to Drury. It's when it was Drury College. And studying communications. I was a Kappa Delta there. And just meeting friends. And I remember walking down the lane at Drury saying, this is the best. Because I'm completely, free yet independent yet dependent at the same time. This is the best life ever, And because then, real life hits you pretty strong when you get out and you have to start, working full time. You don't get Christmas break for 2 weeks or a month, anymore. It's like, oh, I got to really work now. So, yeah, And then just moved to Iowa when we lived up there. I guess that was the first signs. I mean, it's funny that I was a communications major because all through my younger life, I was always working in the banking industry. I worked at the local, you know, Kabul State Bank. Then when I graduated, I went into the banking. It was Hills Bank in Iowa City. Then when we moved back, I worked at Boatman's Bank in Springfield. And it was just funny. And then, but I'm like, no, business. And then I was just a stay-at-home mom. And just that's what I did for 18 years. Just with, because we had a special needs child. I was actually a stay-at-home mom a lot longer than I thought I would be. Because my oldest daughter now, she was born with cerebral palsy, meningitis, and E. coli sepsis. So they didn't think she was going to live. And she did, but it ate away her brain. So she just has like pockets of fluid in her brain. So she's pretty severe. So it was a blessing that I was able to stay home and be with her. And it was like my husband never thought he would be in the business, the family business. That's not what he wanted to do. But he also realized, he goes, this is a great blessing because with our daughter, we can take her to St. Louis anytime we need to. You know, if I was some other job where I was working, it would be very hard for us to do this. So he was very grateful, even though we never thought this is where our path mm-hmm. would lead. He was smart enough and good enough to realize this was a blessing that what we did. So, and then I had Jared and then Josh came along. So I was a busy stay-at-home mom doing that, but I loved it.
So we'll come back and we'll talk through some of these like big moments and mm-hmm. generation stuff. Mm-hmm. You said you had two brothers. Mm-hmm. So I am an older brother to a sister. Mm-hmm. She had two of us that she had to deal with. So what was it like having brothers as a younger sister?
They tormented me, but I learned how to deal with it really early. Like I can remember my older brother would have a Hulk mask and he would come in and scare the bejeebers out of me all the time with that Hulk mask. And then my other brother was the kind that would just torture you with a, you know, you'd say, his name was Brent, and he'd go, Brent, he'd go, huh? And then I'd go, Brent, huh? You know, and he would just do these little things like that. And I would be like, you know, and my mom would say, tat, 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 you know, don't be a tattler. So then I remember I was 8 years old. I learned this quick. And Brent was like, Carrie, and I was like, huh? Carrie, huh? He goes, nice. So I finally wow. learned at 8 years old that, yeah, I can do it too.
That's awesome.
And then it was great when I did break my arm. At one point I had a cast. And when my older brother came in with the Hulk mask, I could hit him with the cast. So he didn't mess with me for that short a period of time. So, yeah, I learned to be tough when I was a kid, you know, when you have two older brothers.
Yes, you do.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So that was good.
It is. It's a great thing. Mm-hmm. What's something you learned from your parents that's like stuck with you or that you carry on that you've maybe passed your own kids?
I think it's my work ethic that I work hard because I remember my mom when I got my first job. I mean, I had the babysitting jobs and doing all that. But when I got my first real job at working at the bank, I can remember my mom telling me, now you work hard. Like if you get your work done, you find something else to do. The trash, you take out the trash, you clean something, you just work hard and find work to do. And that has always stuck with me forever. You know, I've always thinking of that whenever somewhere I'm working. And I don't know, I don't think you're ever too good to clean a toilet. You know, mm-hmm. I'm like, if I use it, I should clean it. So, because I remember we had, I won't say what business at this time we had, but the lady manager we had there didn't have her name on the list to clean the toilets. And that bothered me. I was like, do you use it? Then you should be on the rotation to clean it. So anyway.
So you brought up your business a couple different mm-hmm. times. Mm-hmm. And then you have that moment of learning from your mom. Mm-hmm. Yes. Yeah, so, and then you spoke about how it like impacted that one business that you owned. But when you look back, I mean, and previously you said, I'm not sure that I was thinking that I'd be in business.
Mm-hmm.
But did you see or connect some of those dots about your early life experience and how it's impacted your business today?
I think so, because with my family, my dad was a self-made man. You know, he did his own business. He ran his own business. That's all he did. And, you know, I used to work in those growing up as little, you know, just the little cleaning stuff and everything. But I can see that now, how I did learn so much from him on how to run a business. I learned from my mom. I mean, whenever I went to Drury, my mom had this great opportunity to run a business she was a stay-at-home mom too. That's what she did. But she had this opportunity to sell fabric we had this workshop that my dad had built. And so this opportunity, I mean, it's a long story how that came about, but she had an opportunity to sell fabric out of there. She sold that for 3 days out of the week. And that put me through college. And then the moment that, you know, I graduated, she closed it down, didn't have to do that anymore. But that kind of work ethic, and it's kind of neat now, because now I'm working at Drury. I'm like following in my mom's footsteps. I'm working at Drury because it's free tuition to put my boys through college, just like my mom did for me. Now I'm doing that for Jared. I got him through. Now Josh is a senior. He'll be graduating. I was able to get my master's while I was there. And come May, I'll quit working there too. So, I mean, yeah, there's all kinds of things that I can see where I have been prepared to be where I am right now. I didn't think so. I didn't see it at the time, but looking back now, I can see that.
It is. It's pretty incredible. Yeah, and then when you describe what your mom did, what you're doing.
It's funny that I'm doing the same thing my mom did, but it's not something that I went, oh, I'm going to do what my... No, it's just the opportunity, and my boys wanted to go to Drury, and the first thing I did, I was like, I knew about that. And I said, okay, what job can I get at Drury? I literally got online when Jared came home and said, I think it's Drury I want to go to. I'm like, okay, let me find a job. Wow. And that's what I did, and very thankful for it.
What was your faith formation like as a young person?
Well, I'm always thankful. I had a great hometown, Kabul Christian Church. We had a great youth pastor, Rodney Brown. Him and his wife, she played the piano for the church, and he was the youth pastor for the church. And then we had the best youth group ever, the things that we did. And then he had left and gone somewhere else, and we had another youth pastor. So I've always had this wonderful time growing up in the church. But then, like, I assume, like a lot of college students, you don't go to church. I didn't go to church when I went to college. I've always had the faith. I've always been a believer. But, you know, you're just kind of your typical college kid. Then when Matt and I got married, we didn't go to church. We were living in Iowa City. We didn't find a church home up there. But when we moved back to Springfield, and then we started talking about having kids, we knew it was important to start to church again. And that's when I actually had Elizabeth and I joined the MOPS program here at Schweitzer, met Liz Craig. And that's when I decided I really liked Schweitzer Church. And it was the joke, because we lived in Republic, and my Matt would go, you had to pick the church the farthest away from our house. And I'm like, yeah, I like it. So, but that's when we started coming to Schweitzer. So my faith grew. I mean, I always have had faith, but it's like my faith and how my knowledge of it, and I don't mean the Bible book knowledge, but the relationship with God grew so much different. You know, when we had Elizabeth, and I was not expecting to have a special needs child, and I struggled with this with God, because when I was growing up in my church, we had this little girl. I think now she was really close to my age, but she was so severely handicapped that she was pretty, really, you know, I thought she was a lot younger, but I think she was really my age. And I would go to the nursery, and I would help in the nursery take care of the kids, and I would help take care of Sheila. And I remember, do you remember those pop-up toys that you, you know, and they pop up.
Jack in the Box.
Oh my gosh. She would love to lay her head on that. And I remember she's nonverbal. She couldn't walk. She was just very severe. And she would lay on that and just, and I would roll that. And I loved her. Everyone loved Sheila in our church. But I remember when I was pregnant, I remember praying to God, please do not let me have a special needs child. Please don't have a special needs child. I have a special needs child. And I remember laying in the hospital, and I can remember I have a choice. What is my choice going to be? Am I going to wallow in grief and wallow in sorrow and wallow in poor pity me? Or am I going to make the best of the situation? I still have a life. Life is good, and I can still go on. So we made a choice of how we were going to react to that. So, and through that, though, there has been so many blessings. Like, I've met one of my best friends was when I was had to go to the neurologist, you know, pediatric neurologist. I met one of my best friends as the nurse there, and she was pregnant. I invited her to come to Schweitzer, to come to MOPS. She came to MOPS. She joined Schweitzer. And I remember it was one Easter. We're sitting in, it was Ann Stever. We're sitting in church, and Ann's got all this, like, there's like 14 people. I don't know. There's so many people. And Ann goes, Carrie, you're the reason why all these people are here. And I go, no, I'm not. Elizabeth is. She's the reason these people are here, not me. And even my prayer life was better from it. Like, I can remember I was pregnant with Jared, and I was so tired. And Elizabeth was just, she was very difficult. And I can just remember, like, God, please let her go to sleep. Please make her go to sleep. Lord, please, please. I was just begging God. And then I remember it just came over me. I said, Lord, give me the strength to get through her not sleeping. Please be with me and give me the strength to do what I need to do. And I had it. She didn't go to sleep. But when I changed it to give me the strength that I need to get through it, I got the strength. And so as hard as it was, because I think about that, would I change anything? Would I ever change that? I'm like, I would be full, say, of course I'd change, but I don't know. There was just so many blessings out of it. There's so many good things, and God had a purpose. God had a reason. Mm-hmm. So why am I going to mess up something that God made happen? I mean, not make happen, but it's in His plan.
Yeah. Have you ever been asked to talk about that to, like, parents who've got special needs kids?
No, I've never been asked. I've tried to help other people just that I come across, because I've been in organizations and things like that. And I just tried to help people. I see that you can make your own blessing with what you go through. That's what, with Matt dying, I am at now in this program where I'm learning to be a life coach, but my calling, I feel, is helping women who've lost the love of their life to cope with that. I feel like that's my calling, my purpose. And it's funny because, like, when I'm studying and reading my Bible, and the thing that comes up, take care of the widows and the orphans. I'm like, well, I can do that. I got a, inside scope on that one. Mm-hmm. And when I'm doing things at the house and there's problems that arise, and I'm just like, why am I going through this? What's this? And I'm like, well, I need to help other people get through this. I have an inside knowledge that a lot of people don't have. So that's what I'm trying to work on now, is how I can help other women go through what I've gone through.
So you said earlier that, your calling is about helping people who lose the love of their life.
Mm-hmm.
So talk a little bit about Matt and the love of your life.
He was wonderful. I was so blessed. Talk about a God thing introducing us, because I never really dated that much. I just couldn't find anybody that really was interesting. And it's funny because Matt and I, I think he liked me first, but before, you know, I really, and I think he did, he brought me candy one time for something. And I remember going home and my mom saying, he likes you. I'm like, oh no, he doesn't. He's like my brother. No, he doesn't. And then just one night it just clicked and we just started dating. And it was, I remember one time that I fell in love with him because one thing he said, and he wasn't that religious really. Like he didn't go to church now. He did growing up some, but he mm-hmm. didn't. But I remember him saying, I think my life is really good sometimes. He goes, I think the devil makes my life really good. So I don't think I need God. Hmm. And I was like, oh, that's deep. Mm-hmm. You know, I never thought about that. He goes, yeah, I think the devil does that to me sometimes. So I don't think I need God. And that's when I kind of, okay, I like this guy, you know? And so he was always active in the church. Once he taught Sunday school here, he had a great Sunday school. He took that very seriously because he knew how important being a teacher was. Mm-hmm. And he was very serious about that. He loved his boys and his daughter. You know, he would do anything for them. Our best time was when both the boys were playing soccer on the same soccer team at the same time. He was in heaven. It was great. And he worked hard. And it was funny because he, too, was not a business major. He was a psychology major at Drury. That's what he got his degree in. But then he was forced kind of into this job. And he started running this company. And he was a natural at it. He would get so excited about things. And he said, you know what? I'll, like, think about something in the middle of the night. And he said, then I go. And I do it and it works, you know? And he goes, it's really cool. And so it was neat to see him, you know, grow in that. And he was such a good friend to so many people. And he was a giver and we made each other better, you know? Mm-hmm. Where I was lacking, he would make me better. Where he was lacking, I made him better. Mm-hmm. And all we concerned about was our little home, our little group of people. And I don't know. He was just he treated me like a queen. I was spoiled by him. And I'm very blessed that I had him for those years. Very thankful.
How many years were you guys married?
We were married 27, but we knew each other for like 30 years. So, because I met him in college. Uh-huh. We did theater together and things. We hung out together. And so I met him in 87. But we didn't start dating till like 89. And then he graduated in 90, and then I was 91, and then we got married in 91. Mm-hmm. But it was funny because when we started really seriously dating, we were like wanting to get married. We were going to get engaged, and we both were like, this will freak our parents out. We've only been together 6. We need to wait. So we like waited till the Christmas after, you know, before I was going to graduate. Then we got engaged, you know, like we're not going to freak out our families. And then we got married in June of 91.
So what kind of advice from that era do you give or have you given your kids?
Oh, I told them that you've had such a great example of a father, you know, and I hope a mom, but you've had a good example of what a relationship should be like, how you should respect each other and take care of each other and put the other person first and know that that person has the best interest. And, you know, I tell them, you need to treat your wife like a queen. But you need to have someone who will support you. And I don't know, I've hoped that they've had a good, you know, what their mom and dad was with the mm-hmm. relationship so that they will carry that on in their mm-hmm. own relationship. Because I've told them, it's like, so, so happy. You know, you feel so much happier mm-hmm. when your home life is happy. Mm-hmm. And so that's what I've tried to tell them and show them, but not just tell them, but actually show them, be that example. And okay, here's something. I would always tell them who's first and they'd say God. And I go, who's second? Daddy. Who's third? Us. You know, I'm like, yep. Don't you forget it. And you know, and that's the same way we do the same way the other, but here's the thing. Here's what I realized. And this is very, I'll confess it to you. This is a confession. I think that when Matt died, he was my idol. Because I found myself wanting to see him in heaven more than I wanted to see God in heaven. Mm. And that's not a place you should be. So I've had to work through that no, I'm not going to make him my idol. That blessing that God gave me, I'm not going to make that take the place of God. Because I was like, I always said God first, Matt second, you third. But I think maybe that was words. Hmm. So I've really, I've prayed to God. It's like, Lord, you gave him to me for 30 years, and I'm so thankful for that. But you know what? If I never see him again, that's okay, because I want you first. I want you more than anything. So, sorry. that was just a big faith learning experience that I had that I didn't know. I didn't know until he died.
You're not alone in that. Hmm. And C.S. Lewis actually reveals that kind of piece in his story, The Great Divorce, where there's a mom who wants her son more than she wants Jesus. Mm-hmm. And so you're not alone in that, having those feelings, that sense of where you're at. Thanks for sharing that. That's a pretty...
That's a deep that confession. Yeah. I'm not proud of that. So, but anyway, it's the truth.
Well, when you listen to music kind of ingrains that reality within, mm-hmm. Within our minds, within our hearts even, because a lot of songs talk about how we're going to see so-and-so and we can't wait to see that person. And so music has a way of touching us and shaping us that we often don't really think about, but it sets our expectations about certain realities.
Yeah. And that's everything that we have here. I mean, I think about that now more than ever. It's awful that Matt has died. I mean, that is awful, but it's just so weird to say, because I'm so weird to say this, but at some ways it's such a blessing too, because I don't fear death. Hmm. I mean, well, it's easy for me to say here while I'm healthy and I'm sitting here, I agree. Mm-hmm. I get that. I was like, yeah, sir, Carrie, say that with, but I have been in situations like my mom, Jared, Josh, and I were on a plane one time, and it was, there was those weird little mm-hmm. noises and that went through your head. But I remember sitting there going, oh, okay, I know where I'm going. I'm like, okay. I really think I am, because I mm-hmm. have been faced in some ways with that. And that is really a blessing, because I don't know. I just watched that movie, After Death. Have you seen that movie? No. That's in the theaters? Mm-hmm. I think it's the Angel Studios that does The Chosen and all that. I just went that with a couple of girlfriends, and the theme almost was like, you're alive here, but they can't explain it. They're like, you're more alive. Mm-hmm. When they were in heaven, it's like, you're just more alive. And there was one man, he was mad he came back. Huh. He was depressed. He was severely depressed because when he came back, because he'd been in a terrible car accident. Yeah. I mean, like, he was bad. And he was in heaven. He's like, I was there. It was wonderful. He said, I can't explain it in words. And he said, but you're more alive. And then he says, here I am. And he was completely depressed because he didn't want to be there anymore. And he was, even now that he was okay and survived and he was talking about it, he says, oh, yeah, I'm ready. I'm fine. I don't want to be here anymore. He says, I love my wife. I love my children. But that's better. Wow. So that's really, I was like, whoa, that's pretty intense. But yeah, that's one thing after I've lost him. It's a different perspective on death that I've never, it helps me not be so attached to here. I don't want to die. I don't want to but there's a peace with it. Like, even with COVID, I wasn't so fearful of it. I'm like, well, with Matt dying, I realized that our name is written in the book of when we're supposed to die. So if COVID's going to get me, COVID's going to get me. If I get hit by a bus, I'm going to get hit by a bus. I was like, oh,
Yeah. How have you been able to shepherd your kids through grief, but then also into their next, into their future?
Well, you know, that is one of the things that's very hard as a single parent. Just, and that's one of the things, like, I've talked to other moms that are of widows, it's all on you. Everything, you know, you don't know, you don't have anyone else to back you up. You don't have anyone to, is this what we're supposed to do? Am I doing this right? So again, it's very much that I've had to just pray about it with God. And I've literally prayed the scripture for wisdom on how to do things and how to talk to them about something. And then what I've really prayed about is just releasing them to God. You know, I tell them, I was like, God, they're not mine. They're yours. You've given them to me. You know what I want. You know my heart. You know. But then, and I've told my girlfriend and I, we both have gone through some things with our kids, youngest kids. And I've, you know, I've talked to her. I'm like, I'm a control freak. And I always like to control and make it and do. And I've done, you know, I'm at 54 and I'm still screwed up so many times with trying to control things instead of letting God take over. But with this particular problems that we're going through, I have just let God take control because I've thought in my head, I don't want to screw up what God has planned for them to make, you know, what if this is what they need to be to become the person that God wants them to be? And I'm over here, no, do this, do this, do this. And so here I am veering them off on this, you know, and if I just let it go, it would have been quicker to get to where they needed to be. But I know best. I know what needs to happen. I know what makes me feel better. So this is what needs to happen. So I have just, that has been something that I've just like, let it go. And if what happens is going to happen, I do all that I can. I took my part in it, but then I got to let it go.
So now you're here. You've got young adult kids. You've got two different businesses plus working at another job. When you think about the future, what are some of your dreams that you have for the future?
Oh my golly. I think I just really, like, on a very secular earthly level, I really want to be a successful business person. But part of that is I really want to be successful for helping other people. I mean, I hope that doesn't sound hokey. I'm like, oh yeah. No, I'm serious about that. You ask my employees at the towing company, because my all thing is about serving others. How can we serve others? You take care of other people, you serve them and do well, and you'll be okay. Everything will work out. And that's what I always tell my employees. What serve you and our employees can serve the people around us. And it'll all work out for good if you just do that. Everything will be fine. And that is what I'm really excited about. I mean, even my coaching thing, I'll be able to make money off it. Hopefully, if God sees fit, I'll make a lot of money off of it. The more money that I make, the more money you can give, you know? So I don't know. I think I can help a lot of people and just serve people. That's what I see just as my purpose is. Mm-hmm. It's not, and everybody doesn't have to. That was one thing I learned too. I mean, through meditation and scripture reading and devotionals, is like, what's my purpose? What's my purpose? You know, like, you've got to do this big thing. And I'm like, you know, just getting up and being nice to the person who you run into on the sidewalk, or helping somebody that dropped something. Your purpose is just being kind to people. You know, you might not have to make a big, you know, nonprofit that saves lives and does all this thing. Maybe just don't be grumpy to your checkout person who was a real jerk to you. You know what I'm saying? Just mercy, love, grace, and giving.
Are those the marks then by which you'll know you'll be successful? as a business person?
Golly, I think my marks for being successful, what I love is when I hear, like, it's funny, my general manager, Derek, God, man, the Lord, that's when I see how wonderful the Lord loves me with how he has taken care of me through my towing company and has led people to me that have, you know, run it the day to day. And when he says, oh, I'm not working for anybody but you. You know, and that's what everybody's like, oh, no, you. So that makes me feel good, like, okay, I'm doing something right. And that is when I'm successful, that I help people and it changes their lives for the better. That's my success. Mm-hmm. So whether I make $1 million or live under a book, you know, I don't know. But if I'm helping people, you know, and that they, and I change their life, sometimes you don't even know it, but years later, someone has come up to you like, you always did this for me. That was so amazing. And I'm like, what? I did? So that's success to me.
So we could go on. I've got lots of other questions I could ask. But I'd like to close with a final question.
Okay.
Like, actually, I'm going to close with two questions. First one is, you've taken us to some serious places. So what do you do for fun? What do you like to relax? What's it like?
Oh my gosh. I love going out with my girlfriends. We go to the movies. We go to each other's houses, just hanging out. I love sitting by the fire with a little bottle of wine and cheese and just talking and laughing. I love doing woodworking. I make stuff in a wood shop. It's funny, because people would come over. This is when Matt was alive. And they go, hey, you know, is this all your husband's woodworking tools? I'm like, no, it's mine. This is my woodworking shop. And then I had my friend from Drury. She came over and I was helping her build this thing and fix it. And so she's taking pictures and she sends them to her dad. And he goes, oh, are you at your boyfriend's place or something? And so she was laughing. She goes, look, you're my boyfriend, Carrie. And I'm like, no. It's me, a woman, doing it. But I love doing that. I love hobbies. But it's funny because my spiritual gift is hospitality. And I love having people over. I love entertaining. I love, like, the family get-togethers at my house, just people over. I love doing things like that. That is my fun to do. So, but traveling, I enjoy that. So, yeah, there's all kinds of fun stuff I do. I have a lot of fun.
That's a great answer. Lots of things there. Then the final question is, what's a word of advice that you'd like to share with us?
Oh, a word of advice.
Or a final word you'd like to leave with us.
Well, when something that I have done and I've learned and I use it, and the time I learned it the most, and I'm so thankful for this, when Matt was dying, was continuing to be thankful. Whenever I was in my darkest and ugliest points, I would sit and I would just start writing a journal, like, thank you, Lord, for this. And I would start writing every single blessing out in that journal over and just page after page. And that got me through it. That I wasn't in that dark spot again, because I could remember all the thankful things and the blessings that he has given me. And that when you cry out, I mean, we talk about that when you're the weakest, you are the strongest. Wow, what a blessing to get to feel that. You know, I don't like being in those dark. I don't want to be there. But gosh, at the same time, it's such a blessing to be drawn out of that dark hole.
Yeah.
You know, it's hard to explain to people that haven't really gone through anything, but because I remember I was sitting in the hospital with Matt when this was the last time he's ever, you know, he was dying. And I remember it was December and it was so gray. Every day was gray and cold and ugly and cloudy and gray. And I'm sitting there in the hospital and I've got my Bible and I've been reading and I was just like crying out to God, like, I can't do this. You know, this hurts too much. And I remember it was literally like God touched me because out of the blue, one little ray of sunshine came through that window and enveloped me. And it was, I felt warmth from the inside out, and it was God touching me in that moment. What a blessing. Mm-hmm. And I have cherished that moment and so thankful for that moment. And if I hadn't gone through what I was gone through, would I have that moment? You know, so that's how I see being thankful when you're going through something bad. Mm-hmm. But yeah, that just stay and remember your blessings, because there are so many more blessings than there are bad times. And that's what my advice would be. That's what's gotten me through it.
Thank you so much. You've given us a great picture and window into your life. So thank you for doing that and for sharing these moments that were hard and yet real blessings.
Yeah, it is. You're welcome.
Thank you so much for joining us today. A very big thank you to Carrie for sharing her story. In listening to Carrie's story, I hope that you were inspired, encouraged, and challenged, and that you will begin to behold the really cool people that are around you. This podcast, the Really Cool People Podcast, is produced by Schweitzer Church, Springfield, Missouri. Taylor Likes is our executive producer and editor, and I'm your host, Jason Leininger. You can help us by liking, reviewing, and sharing this podcast. And if you'd love to send us feedback, we'd love to hear it. You can find our email addresses at schweitzer.church. Thanks again for joining us. Until next time.